listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Easter eggs, rabbit holes, and the martial arts. The bunny spectrum. As experienced listeners to this podcast know, I frequently use the concept of the spectrum to describe various aspects of the complexity of the human animal, especially as it relates to the martial arts. Instead of using an overly simple binary description of human behavior, in other words, saying that the behavior is either this or that, the more realistic but complex spectrum model asserts that all humans fall somewhere on a spectrum that stretches between the extreme of this on the one end and of that on the other. Today I will use such a spectrum to discuss a typical problem that occurs when teaching the martial arts, or when putting together a martial arts curriculum. The problem is, with such a vast quantity of information to impart to your student as quickly as is practical, what's the best way to distribute the load of information for a single lesson, or for a single level of the curriculum, and so on? Let's use the act of building a house as an analogy. The standard method might go something like this. You clear and prepare the land, then lay the foundation, build the frame, put a roof on top, install insulation, line out the plumbing, wiring, and ductwork, finish the walls, outside and inside, and then finish all the detail work. My apologies to my friends in the construction industry. I surely didn't describe this process perfectly, but it will do for my purposes today. Using this standard process, no single room in the house will be habitable until the whole house is habitable. It is possible, but not efficient or recommended, to completely build a single habitable room before adding on a second habitable room, and so on. Let's compare this house-building process to building a student's jiu-jitsu game. The analog for a given single room in the house will be a single basic grappling position on the ground, like the mount, side control, the guard, or the back. Again, this analogy is not perfect, but it will do. Each position in jiu-jitsu is a world unto itself, with much more potential complexity than you might think. For example, when teaching the student about the mount, you must, at least eventually, teach them how to survive and finally escape from under the mount, how to prevent the opponent from mounting you from other positions, how to upgrade your position by gaining the mount against your opponent from other positions, how to keep the mount against an opponent who is trying to escape, or, failing that, when your control is threatened, how to flow to a position that is not as good as the mount, but better for you than where your opponent was headed, how to use the mount to fatigue a struggling opponent, how to use the mount to begin to isolate one of the opponent's limbs or neck in preparation for applying a finishing hold, or, finally, how to use the mount to induce the opponent to turn over and give you his back. To develop the student's abilities to a competent level in all of these areas will take a significant amount of time. But the mount is only one of many major jiu-jitsu positions you must work towards mastering. Each of them will require at least as much time as the mount in order to achieve a decent level of competence. In the case of the guard and all of its many permutations, the process will take much longer. As a teacher, how do you efficiently distribute all of this learning? How far do you take the student's education in a given position before leaving that and working on another position? This is where our two house-building analogies begin to break down. If the process of learning jiu-jitsu was the same as that of building a house, your jiu-jitsu skill set would not be usable until your education was finished. Well, as anyone who practices the martial arts should know, your education is never finished. And so if we stuck to our house-building analogy, that would mean that your jiu-jitsu skill set would never grow to the level of usability. Our other analogy, that of completely building one habitable room before adding another room, also breaks down. By following this analogy, we fully train up one position before beginning to train another. Even if we dispense with the earlier stated premise that your education is never truly finished, and stipulate that we will train each position only to black belt level before beginning to work on the next position, this approach would still take far too long to develop anything approaching a complete or even barely competent game. This is why the jiu-jitsu game, and for that matter all of your other martial arts games, needs to be built in layers. In each layer, you cover material in each of the basic positions, creating a game that is serviceable quite quickly, but one that can continue to grow for years, even decades. This is where the concept of the bunny spectrum comes in. As I believe I've established, you can't, or at least shouldn't, teach the student everything he needs to know in each position all at once. It will be necessary for the instructor to leave holes in his student's game that upper-level jiu-jitsu practitioners will know about and be able to exploit. That means that as the instructor or the designer of the curriculum, you must decide where to leave these holes, planning to fill them in at later levels. As a matter of fact, deciding what to leave out of a given lesson or curricular level is much harder than deciding what to include, and is one of the most challenging dilemmas an instructor can face. I refer to these purposely included weaknesses as Easter eggs. The problem with martial arts Easter eggs is not that they exist. As I've stated, I think they must exist for a while. The problem is that some instructors and higher-level training partners exploit them in a way that is counterproductive and even humiliating for the student. The most common negative way that instructors use Easter eggs is to use them in order to show off, to display their awesomeness as they effortlessly knife through the student's defenses by taking advantage of the holes they themselves placed there. By the way, this phenomenon is not exclusive to jiu-jitsu. It exists in all other martial arts as well. A more extreme version of the Easter egg phenomenon is that, especially in earlier times, many of the techniques that could fill in the gaps left in the curriculum were kept secret by the elite few at the top of the hierarchy of the particular martial arts style. Perhaps such thinking was appropriate back then, when your martial arts skills and knowledge were like military secrets, and your very life could depend on them. But it's inappropriate in the modern martial arts world. My current jiu-jitsu teacher, Marcelo Monteiro, told me that when he was promoted to purple belt, he was taken aside by a senior student who told him that, now that you have proven yourself worthy, you will begin to learn the real jiu-jitsu. Marcelo was incensed by this statement. He had a good competition record as a white belt and a blue belt, and felt that his jiu-jitsu was already very real. He then began to learn that his game had holes in it of which he had been at least partially unaware. He further told me that he resolved to, in the future, design his own curriculum to reduce the number of such Easter eggs that his students would have. He has done just that, and his curriculum is a masterwork. Easter eggs are often used by instructors who feel that their status as martial arts demigods might be threatened by gifted lower-ranked students as a way to keep them in their place. So one end of the bunny spectrum is occupied by instructors and curricula that include a lot of Easter eggs, often too many. On the other end of the bunny spectrum is the instructor that is too prone to being drawn down what I call rabbit holes. What is a rabbit hole? Where an Easter egg is a form of not enough information, a rabbit hole is the opposite, too much information. When an instructor goes down a rabbit hole, he or she spends valuable class time going into way too much detail about techniques and concepts for which the students are not yet ready, and are probably not part of the original lesson plan. In other words, the instructor is perhaps trying to leave no holes in a particular part of his student's game. This is unrealistic. It's a poor use of both the instructor's and the student's time, unless the students are fairly advanced. This behavior is especially prevalent among young teachers, and unlike the act of abusing the presence of Easter eggs, it actually usually stems from a desire to teach the student well. but it can also stem from egotism, from an instructor's desire to show off by displaying the depth of his knowledge. Whether the motivation is nefarious or not, trips down a rabbit hole are usually sparked when a student asks a question that starts with the phrase, "What if?" Let's say you are teaching your jiu-jitsu students a technique for passing the guard. One of the students might ask, "But what if my opponent tries to sweep me?" Or, "But what if my opponent attempts a submission hold?" Or, "But what if my opponent abandons the guard and gets up onto his knees?" Such questions are sometimes relevant to the instructor's lesson plan, in which case he or she can smile knowingly and say something like, "In that case, Grasshopper, you simply do this," while demonstrating what this is. But frequently, the subjects of what-if questions are not particularly relevant to the instructor's lesson plan and might require a diversion of time and attention to answer. In that case, a good instructor has two choices. First, if the question can be briefly answered verbally in a way that is meaningful to the student, great. Do just that and then quickly return to the lesson plan. Second, if a brief answer would not be helpful, then the instructor must put on his big sensei pants and say something like, "That is a lesson which will have to wait for another day," and then quickly return to the lesson plan. I fully realize that the information the instructor imparts while journeying down a rabbit hole is valid and may eventually be useful information, but it's still a poor use of both the instructor's and the student's time. It's the instructor's job to be the grown-up here. He or she needs to realize that a white belt who has yet to learn simple guard skills, like basic sweeps and guard retention, should not be spending valuable class time on the intricacies of the deep half guard. Instructors are sometimes lured down rabbit holes because they fear that if they don't go there, the students will think they don't know the answer to their what-if question. Your student has already placed trust in you by doing what it takes, financially and time-wise, to be present in your class. Return that trust by trusting yourself. Don't be unwittingly drawn down a rabbit hole. Other instructors, as I said earlier, gleefully seize the opportunity to go down a rabbit hole in order to show off their vast knowledge. This teaches the student little more than, "Wow, my instructor knows a lot of cool stuff. I sure wish I knew some of that." Whatever the case, a good instructor knows that classroom instruction time is precious and not to be wasted on irrelevant material. An important point to make here is that once a student reaches an intermediate level, it can be quite useful for him to more fully develop a specialty in the offensive part of his game. For example, perhaps a given student shows a talent for catching opponents with the armbar from the guard. The teacher should help the student explore the vast range of entries, counters, recounters, and all other techniques that might relate to the guard armbar at a higher level. In that case, the exhaustive exploration of these techniques is decidedly not a rabbit hole, but time very well spent. But when it comes to the defensive part of the student's game, the teacher should avoid specialization and rabbit holes and keep building the student's game in nice, even layers. So my purpose for describing the bunny spectrum today is to illustrate the importance, once again, of seeking the Goldilocks zone, in the middle of the various spectrums of human behavior. As a martial arts instructor, it's important to see the bigger picture. You want to set up your lesson plan and curriculum so that your students quickly develop a game that has a broad skeleton, and then spend subsequent months and years with the students, filling in the holes. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, or check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.